time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. And now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave.
Hurry up. Get over here.
And good Tuesday afternoon, everyone. And
Thursday.
Thursday evening.
Boy, you're discombobulated.
Too many years of doing Tuesdays.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Well,
see, the reason it was originally Tuesday because...
Yeah, I know.
Okay, you know.
I know why.
Because so the audience knows that Walt was doing the Sunday Sports Review where they talk about the football games and stuff coming up. But we never got to know the answer. So he said, we need one on Tuesday to follow up on who won what game. And so that's where the famous Sports Sidebar came from. And, of course, that was about the time of the O.J. Simpson trial. That's where the sidebar term actually came from that era there of the O.J. Simpson trial.
So are we going to keep – we're keeping the name, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We just didn't keep the day. But now we're prime time.
We're now prime time for as long as it lasts.
As long as it lasts.
So, anyway, before we get started.
Yes.
You know how I was involved in Yodel. I'm still involved.
Yeah.
We lost, with Dolly Parton passing, a great country artist who incorporated
Yodeling. She did. Yes, she did.
One of her best songs was I'm a Lady Mule Skinner.
And she that's right. She did.
She is. So she went quickly. I didn't know
she'd been bowing out of a lot of actually appearances and things, not necessarily singing, but appearances and stuff lately. And there were a lot of rumors out there
that didn't
pay their rent, you know, because sometimes rumors, they don't pay their rent.
Oh, okay. Yes. Anyway, I got it. But, no, I got home the other day, and Nancy said, Dolly Parton. I knew they were saying she was taking a hiatus. She wasn't taking care of her health because of her husband being very ill, and he passed away.
And a lot of people do that. They ignore their own health for that of their spouse, and that drags them down to a point that actually it's almost too late to do something sometimes.
It was a really.
I didn't see what her actual cause of death was. They
just said it was a fast acting cancer.
Okay.
And maybe she had it, ignored it during this time of turmoil with her family, her husband. But what a great artist! I really
amazing.
Liked her.
Jolene.
Mule Skinner. I mean, they're 9 to 5. I mean, you go on and on and on. And
how many people have recorded Jolene? A lot of people have.
Well, Beyonce just did it.
Did she just do it? Okay.
And I'll Always Be With You.
I'll Always Love You, yeah.
Yeah, or whatever that
was.
Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston, really. She had recorded it first and also used it in the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, the musical.
Oh, okay.
And, but once it became Whitney's, once she sang it, but that's okay because she got royalties.
Yeah, well, it kind of like Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson wrote all these songs you didn't even know, or even Neil Diamond. He wrote a ton of songs that he didn't perform.
Willie got paid for his, because he usually sold them outright to artists a lot of times, where Neil Diamond worked for like Coleco and a couple of people like companies like that. Basically, you're on staff, you write songs for us. For a while, and so he didn't make. He certainly made his money later, but he didn't make his money. I mean, because he wrote, I think, a quarter of the hits that the Monkees had.
Yeah,
you know. So it just.
So it was monkey business.
Yeah, for him it was monkey business.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And you know, when you're a struggling writer, whether you're ever make it as a performer, it's good that your stuff is out there and people see it. One person almost didn't do that was Sylvester Stallone. He had never been seen or heard, but he wrote this story called Rocky, and lots of studios wanted it, but they didn't want him. That's correct. And he said, nope, not unless you have me will I give you the script. And
the rest is history.
The rest is history. If somebody finally relented, whether it was Columbia, I think, Pictures, I'm not sure. But they relented, let him be in it, and
well, why wouldn't
we have Stallone?
He was perfect for that.
Except that nobody knew him. He wasn't a name. There's so many people that get kicked out of like the original Arstic and Old Lace on Broadway was Boris Karloff and Eddie Albert.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And since people in Hollywood didn't know Eddie Albert, certainly didn't know him as somebody you could sell a movie, they put in Cary Grant in that role. Mm-hmm. And a guy that looked like Boris Karloff. Now, I don't know whether Boris was turned it down or whether he said, or whether they said, well, we're not taking the two of them, so we're not taking either one. I don't know that, how the studio worked at that point. But I thought it would have been interesting to see him. I've seen a version with Bob Crane.
Oh, gosh.
Hogan.
Hogan Hero.
Yeah. Do a version of that. And,
well, anyway, Dolly was, we'll miss her. I mean,
yeah.
And not only that was a great singer, she was a philanthropist. And,
Dollywood? Yeah, Dollywood there.
Yeah, she.
But
gave,
she didn't.
Gave away millions of books.
Yeah. Millions a year. Millions
yeah,
a year.
Mails.
Millions and millions.
Millions of, I guess if you were between the ages of
one and
five,
five
you got a free, if you signed up for it.
You signed up for it, you got a book a month.
Because her father, who was very smart though, never learned to read.
He never learned to read, yeah.
And he was always conscious of it and kind of drove her to that. It was his idea, really.
Was it his idea? Okay.
We got to educate kids. So, anyway, it's a great loss. And
you're right, because not just the singer and the songwriter, but the philanthropist and the thing she did for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
It just hope that her work continues.
Let's hope so. But a great yodeler. I mean, she could belt it out. Yeah. It was so natural for her, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. And she just kind of rolled right into it when she sang, you know, like the other ones as well. But anyhow, sports side. I know the band was kind of down today.
Yeah, they were. Well, you know, they all respected her, you know.
Yeah.
Nearly everybody respected Dolly. And
yeah.
She did a lot of things with other people and some things with Miley Cyrus, who's her goddaughter.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
I was unaware of that. Boy, you're full of stuff.
Yeah, and Billy Ray Cyrus that was a good friend of hers, and actually one of the last people she talked to was Billy Ray Cyrus. She could,
yeah.
They talked on the phone.
Well, she did the 9 to 5 movie, and she was hilarious in that.
My favorite movie of hers, I've said it in a couple different places now, Straight Talk.
Straight
Talk. She walked into a radio station in Chicago, and they were waiting for a radio psychologist to appear, but that person got stuck in traffic, and they thought Dolly, who would come to apply for a receptionist job, they thought she was the psychiatrist, threw her on the air, and she started giving this homespun advice, and that was kind of the kickoff of the whole movie.
Yeah.
And everybody absolutely loved it. I'll have to see if it's streaming somewhere because Al asked me, where is it streaming? So I'll have to look and see.
Yeah.
But that's probably my favorite movie of hers.
Well, she was one person that everybody liked. I mean, whether you were conservative, liberal, I mean, everybody liked Dolly.
Well, she wasn't political.
She wasn't
political.
And even though she had some causes that some people might get upset about, but she still was liked by just about everybody.
Yeah.
And, which is good. Wish we had more.
If she wasn't liked by them, at least she wasn't hated by them.
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah.
That sometimes is, there is a big difference. People that don't love them sometimes just hate them.
Yeah.
And in this case, if they didn't, they agree with them and they didn't really love her, they didn't hate her either.
Yeah.
So. In the society we have today, that's quite an accomplishment.
It is. So, speaking of kind of your prediction about who would be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
Six games.
Well,
second, the thing is, I don't think one, he's not really popular with anybody.
Well, he got booed from his fans. Right. And he got booed when he had the, which is pretty tacky in my estimation.
It is. But
that when he got hurt with his Achilles, when they carted him off the field, they were booing.
I thought they were cheering. I thought they were cheering. When he was carted off the field, they were cheering. And he thought, and maybe it was, that because he was leaving the field, that they were happy. But sometimes when somebody gets up who has been injured, people cheer because they're okay.
Well, he certainly didn't think it was a cheer. He thought it was booze.
No, this time it was booze.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in his press conference.
In his press conference.
Which was a disaster.
Why would you say that?
He was being booed, he said, when he got carted off the field by the fans. And it's pretty bad when you announce that your starting quarterback is Deshaun Watson and the fans are booing.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign of fan support.
Do you think that was truly the coach's choice?
No. I don't think so whatsoever. I read...
Did you watch the... I did something I almost never do. I watched the entire game on Saturday. It's a preseason game, and I usually don't watch preseason games because they don't mean anything. Thursday night, which is a night game, which I could watch. I'm not going to do because they're not going to have starters there.
Well, with this new format of only three preseason games because they went to 17 regular season games, it's the second game.
Right.
It used to be what the third game is.
It's basically the dress rehearsal.
The dress rehearsal.
Except that who led off that game, that was Shador, and he did the first half, and I thought he looked so much better than he did last year. And the interception was in the receiver's hands. Yeah, it was a little behind him, but it was in the receiver's hands. And if you don't catch it, you bat it down, not bat it up. And that's what happened. Mm-hmm. When you bat it up and you're around three other guys of the opposite team, what do you think's going to happen?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. So I don't, in a sense, completely blame him for that. He's not blameless, but he has less blame than the receiver who had both hands on it, couldn't bring it in, and let it bat up instead of down. I know they think, well, if I bat it up, I can catch it when it comes down. You're around three. There were three guys around him.
Well, I really do think that was Nate Ulrich in the Beacon Journal had an article titled Cleveland Chaos. How it just seems from the Art Modell decision to Bill Belichick being, not liked by the fans, one chaos after another with his franchise. And he even talked about Johnny Manziel, and he talked about other idiotic moves that this franchise has made over the years.
And all franchises make mistakes.
But it just seems...
Not like this team.
No, and this could be one of them. I mean, he is intimating in this article that Deshaun Watson is just... a notch below Art Modell. he's saying that.
I mean,
Art Modell was booed and I think hanged
in effigy. Yeah.
And all this, Art has no heart, all that kind of stuff. Because of his off-season antics, his inaccuracies, his inadequacies in playing, the fans just don't.
Well,
like
he
him.
Looked absolutely horrid and then let me ask you this. If he hadn't made the comments he did in the press conference, would he be completely – because I tell you what, my son called me and said, Dad, I have no reason to turn the Browns on this year. It's not like Watson, and he hated him even more for putting down all the fans as he did. And he says, I have no reason to turn on the Browns this year.
You know, basically that's what the fans said. Some of the shows on the fans are saying – I've never seen the reaction from the fan base who will actively now want the Browns to lose the first two games.
Yes.
They want this team to lose.
Yes.
I mean, who in their right mind, even his guy should have been given a clipboard and helped Shedeur Sanders become a good quarterback.
Right.
Help Dillon Gabriel be a good backup quarterback. And you are on the team. But you're and in a dire situation we'll put you in. That was the right thing to do. No, what they want to do, according to Nate Ulrich, is try to justify that last year's paying him $40-some million. They want to justify it. And I can't think that Todd Monken really wants this. I don't think a head coach wants his starting quarterback
to be hated by all the fans.
To be hated by all the fans and booed.
Yeah.
Where you got a young man who is loved
and
because
exciting
he tries so hard.
Yes.
And
the complete, he's the super underdog is what he is.
And what is with these people who own this team? You can't tell me it was not influenced by the Haslams, also known as the Doofuses.
It would be so much better if he had stayed with his, we took a great swing and a miss. It would have been so better if he just stayed with that he announced just last year to the press, to the fans. Yeah, we took a big swing and a miss.
So you're going to put your mistake back on the field as starting quarterback. It makes no sense to me.
He's not your future. Well, and you know what also happened? The odds of them winning originally were 6.7 games.
Yeah.
This year. Once they announced that he was the starter, it went down to 5.3. Instantly, just by that announcement.
So what? This just tells me that they're playing out this year to get a better draft pick. I mean, come on.
Isn't that what I said? I said when they traded Myles Garrett, and I have nothing bad to say about the guy that they traded for him.
That was more understandable than
well,
this.
I understand, but he's no Myles Garrett, not at this point anyway. And then you lost your coach, who is the one that had them between number 10 and number 5 for most of his tenure here. Mm-hmm. And so you lost that, and you lost Garrett, and you've got a different guy in there. It's going to be a different defense, and you're not going to have as good a defense. The defense is the one that gave up all the points.
Well, Alex Wright, who's one of their better players, is out for the season now with a bad yep. knee. And
but
I just don't understand.
They're not going to be a top 10 defense. No. They might, depending on who's there, they might score more points. But if your defense, I mean, the defense looked, and I realize those weren't the starters in there. They were the second team, but the fact is, our second team, we have no depth. If our first team is that much better, we have no depth.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that told me.
Isn't it something if you were not a football fan and you're passing Huntington Field and hear all these boos? Oh my goodness, the other team must be doing well. No, it's our team.
It's our team.
It's our team doing well.
To be honest with you, if I tune in, it'll, because we're going to talk about it, but also I'll be in to see that he does as poorly as he played in this game.
Well,
and
Tom
he was terrible. He was.
Tom Monken says this is what he's been told to say.
Yes,
I think we don't know. We're speculating because we can't. We are fans.
Yes,
is that he gives us the best chance to move the ball.
No, that's bull. He has to say something in order to justify it. The thing is, the other thing he said, well, and if he wins the first two games, that cures a lot of issues.
Well, they talked about that too on The Fan. They still believe if they win the first two games, it'll be muted. It won't, there'll still be boos, but it will be muted. Isn't that something? You win your first two games, you get, you're introduced on the field and you're booed? I mean,
I don't see them winning. I know the first game is Jacksonville. And they're not a pushover anymore.
No, by
any means, we're more of a pushover than they are.
Yeah.
And who's the second game? I know you said, was it?
Oh, it's Jacksonville.
Jacksonville's first game.
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. I don't think they're exactly pushovers.
No, they're in the middle of the pack. I mean, we will do our annual,
picks.
Picks.
Power rankings. Power rankings, yeah. And our picks.
Yeah. But I was taken aback, really. You know, some people, Deshaun Watson's going to be the starting quarterback. You know, I thought that was just to kind of tell the opposition, you know, get prepared for Watson and not Sanders. But they did it.
Yeah.
They did it anyway. They really went through with what they said. And I saw some Ray of Hope, as you did with Sanders last year. I mean, he
played the whole half, and he stood in the pocket so much better, gave himself more time, even though he knew the pressure was all around him. And this is a secondary line that was protecting him, and they did a pretty good job, gave him enough time to get the passes off. And Watson is worried about little five-yard dish-offs, you know.
The man hasn't played for almost 2 years. He's going to have to be put in a vat of WD-40 because he's so rusty, right? I mean, he's saying...
How come when other players come back, they never talk about rust? Any other player comes out and they don't talk about rust.
Especially in football, because football, you know, you really need to be... how many times have we heard commentators say at the end of the season when a team has a bye week and then they come back and they don't play very well... Well, they're a little rusty from not being playing 1 week. Now this guy hasn't played for 2 years.
Yeah.
And believe me, what you see in preseason games is nothing compared to the regular season.
Oh, absolutely.
When they start to count. The Buffalo Bills beat us 31-7.
Yeah.
And
that's our vaunted defense, our top 10, top 5 defense. Now, granted, especially in the second game. Well, that was the first game. We had starters in that game.
Yeah. Well, that's the second game of the year. I mean, second preseason. This is when you...
That's your dress rehearsal.
Your dress rehearsal. Now, they say, some of the excuses the front office is saying, well, you know, Deshaun, during the Buffalo game, was playing with the second string and blah, blah, blah.
So was Sanders. Well, so was Sanders' system. They didn't play a lot of first stringers.
I don't know. So... I can't remember, even in years past, when the Browns were no good, the fan base always cheered them.
Yes.
I mean, they always cheered. They were diehards. They stayed to the, most of them stayed at least to the third quarter when it was, and then after the fourth quarter, they were down. So they left.
Yeah.
When they were 0-16, you still had, here we go, Brownies.
And you didn't hear them booing?
No. And now, because of this guy's off-field activities, his disdain for the fans.
His total lack of self-awareness or self, you know, responsibility.
Yeah.
Total lack of that.
Yeah.
Don't blame the fans. Blame yourself. He's been here. This is his fifth year. He's played a total of, for different reasons, he's played 19 games.
Yeah.
He's 9-10.
Yeah. Well, they
and this is a guy that was a superstar in 2020.
Yeah. Well, some of the he thinks the fan should appreciate him for how hard he has worked, and he may have to come back from two Achilles, which are not easy to come back.
No,
from.
Absolutely not.
And he really thought that he was going to be cheered on, so it was a shock to his system. When he was actually booed. So, and they, the front office didn't know this was going to happen. I mean, come on.
Yes, they did. Well, but the front office didn't, again, if the interference is up higher, the front office didn't have any say either. They go back to Hugh Jackson, and he didn't even answer to the general manager. He answered to D. You know, that's how terrible of an organization we have here.
Well, it seems to be they're building toward 2029.
Well, they don't want to win the games. I announced that on both shows. They're playing now to lose as many as they can.
Well, first of all, I somewhat disagree with you because Myles Garrett wanted out of here, and they got a guy who was a NFL Rookie of the Year in defense. And a first round draft pick for Myles Garrett, who's now a little bit older, and I didn't think it was an awful trade. I really didn't.
Well, I guess,
he's no Myles Garrett. Obviously, there's no Myles Garrett.
A sign of a good trade is that the people in L.A. were angry at the trade as well.
I think it was
a good
trade.
So it was maybe not quite even up because although he's getting older, this is his prime. Mm-hmm. And the other kid has room to grow.
Yeah.
But he's no Garrett. And when you lose the coach they put you there, put him there. Because he was there before, and they had coaches holding him back. Mm-hmm. And if they, you know, I'm sure they won't be doing that with the Rams.
Oh, no.
Because they're one of the top teams to go to the Super Bowl right now.
And they think they're getting Darnold, not Darnold back, but I can't think of the other defensive. He retired and came back, and Donaldson or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
His name escapes me. If they get him, Ed Miles. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I mean, they're 1-2 in most of the power ratings, the early ones to win the Super Bowl. And we shall see. But it's just a shame from what all this fan base has gone through all these years since 1999 with a factory of sadness or something like that they called it. This stadium, which will be short-lived here in the next couple of years, has never seen a home playoff game. Never. It's sad.
Since the Browns came back. Yeah.
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 So.
In 1990. And then. In 1999.
Since 1999. So to throw this back at the fans, you can understand why there was booing. Now, maybe there's a rational decision for that we're not professional coaches. They see something in Deshaun Watson that we don't see. But I
think they see the experience that he has and use that as their plus. But that doesn't mean other people don't come up behind you that are, you know, again, he's not the future of this team.
Well, that's the argument.
He's not the future of this team.
It's a, you know, what you're saying is true. It's this team is not going to be a playoff team.
Right.
I mean, it's just not going to be.
Even with Sanders there, we probably wouldn't be a playoff team.
No.
Probably.
You got to start growing. We got to rebuild. Hate to say it, but it's a rebuild again.
It is, because they're going to go for another quarterback, I'm sure. And when they do that, trade down both their first-round draft picks to go down further to pick a guy, then you're starting with another rookie. Again, instead of letting him hold the clipboard, it's like Howard has been basically, although he didn't look so good last week, I guess, but basically he said, this is Aaron Rodgers. You hold his clipboard. You talk to him. You learn from him.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers, who likes him. So, you know, if he can learn an inch of what Rodgers' observations of, not his crazy thoughts and stuff, but his football acume, they could really be going somewhere. Well, now, they really like the kid they drafted this year.
Yeah. I think Dylan Gabriel's the odd man out.
On ours, yeah. Yeah. I was talking about Pittsburgh, but yeah.
But I'm talking about, you know, the future here that – I used to imagine that that Deshaun Watson's, this is it. This is the last year. Good riddance. And even though they'll pay him or whatever they have to do next year, he doesn't have to be on the roster.
He does not.
And then you would have Shedeur Sanders, Dylan Gabriel, and a rookie competing for the head job. Maybe this rookie that they have now competing for the head job.
But now he'll be playing. The second half of the game on Thursday.
So
again,
I think they're probably showcasing Gabriel to get something for him, either a third, fourth, fifth round draft.
Yeah, he didn't look good at all on Saturday either. But again, he might have been playing with the third stringers.
Well, they're trying different. It's like spring training. You got pitchers going out there, and they're not throwing. They're experimenting with new pitches. They're just getting their arms loose, and batters are using different stances and all kinds of this because they're getting ready for the regular season. And because if the regular, the preseason meant anything. We used to go 4-0 and lose an entire season, right? We went to 4-4 preseason games and lose 16 regular season.
Well, like in baseball preseason, they say the only teams that win almost all their games are teams that need to fill the seats.
Yeah.
Because the other ones are trying different people out to see how they'll do. And then the last two and a half weeks of training, they're starting their starters most of the time.
Well, normally I've been, you know, when I was going to preseason games,
would you go in the middle or the end of the preseason?
Oh, right at the beginning.
The beginning, okay.
Yeah, what they would do is maybe three or four innings, have your starters, and then the bus would come and take them away, and then your AAA guys would come in, play, mm-hmm. and then your Class AA and prospects would come in to finish the last. Basically, that's it. They're just getting ready for the season, and so you don't put a lot of stock in spring training. You don't put a lot of stock in preseason football.
No.
But it's just to get ready.
That may have been the first full preseason. Actually, I call them scrimmages. They don't mean anything, so they're a scrimmage.
You know what? That's a good point, because they said actually the practices.
Yeah.
When they had those combined practices with the Bears, which I got testy, and with the Bills, those are more productive.
Yeah.
Than
what we see on television.
Than the preseason games, yeah. But they make a lot of money because you gotta buy full price for those.
You do. For the preseason scrimmages that are on TV, you gotta pay full price for that.
So, anyway. It will be interesting. I guess we got two more weeks, though, before the season starts, because it's what?
The 7th is when they... It's actually a Wednesday. They're doing the first game on a Wednesday, I think. It was really weird, but yeah, I think it's Wednesday.
I can find out for you here. I can give you the first game will be Sunday the 13th, so it'll be 2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay.
2 weeks from this.
I was thinking the first one was I'd heard something about a Wednesday coming up. But
well, they may be, but our first three games are on Sunday. The week four against the Steelers will be on Amazon on October 1st, so... So we got 2 weeks, and there's going to be a lot of buzzing on the sports talk shows. It's just dominated right now by...
Completely dominated by... And the fact is we got another team doing really well right now. Yeah, it's not a good team, but that's what you're supposed to do with teams that aren't good.
Yeah.
But, it's all of talk is football and about Deshaun Watson. And not many people... are actually defending the decision. I've heard a couple of them say, look, it makes all the sense. He's got all the experience. He knows this and that and other thing. And whether they agree with it or not, they said, you know, that there are arguments for it and they understand those arguments. But the bottom line is it was not one of physical means. It was one of financial means that made this decision.
I think so, too. Because it doesn't make any sense. You're not going to be in the playoffs. You're going to start a quarterback who's not going to be here next year.
Right.
And you're benching the guy who may be a fill-in or a really legitimate quarterback.
You're sitting on him. Yeah.
You're sitting on him.
And it means he won't get first-team reps either.
No.
And Dylan Gabriel won't get any first-team reps.
If he's even on the team.
If he's on the team, yeah.
Yeah. And the rookie... No, I mean, either I would think Dylan Gabriel is up for being traded or cut, and you've got the rookie being on the practice squad. That's what I think. Of course, I don't know what I think.
You got to have three there with the way the injuries happen.
Oh yeah, they don't usually dress three quarterbacks.
No, not usually. No.
No, they have this thing that he's on the roster but didn't dress thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you got
that's usually Watson.
Yeah.
And he's up in the stands.
Yeah.
if he's in the stands.
It's just...
Watson is not the future or even the potential future of this team.
So that's why...
Could Sanders be a potential future of this team?
Well, we don't know.
That's it. Why are you making someone start who is not going to take your team anywhere... And why would you do this? And I guess my son, and I think there are probably a lot of people in the boat with my son, have no reason to turn on the game to watch the Browns. And I said, unless it's to root for them to lose. And that's what I may be doing. Because of their own stupidity, they earned this. they earned the kind of fan support they're getting, not the fan support they have had throughout the years. Browns backers in every stinking little town in this country, they do not deserve the support that they get under this leadership.
No, I, you know, I'm not a Browns fan. I mean, we talk about it because that's what we do. But I noticed when I watched the Browns with Shedeur Sanders in there, and even Dylan Gabriel before him, the fans were enthusiastic. They were cheering. They, you know, they had hope that their team would prevail, even knowing that it was going to be a tough season. And now they have just turned that goodwill towards Sanders and Gabriel into booing. It's just a colossal mistake.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, obviously it's not as big as Art Modell's mistake, but it's still a mistake. And, you know, it just doesn't seem that the ownership cares about what the fans want.
They don't. They,
but, you know, I give them credit for building a new stadium, which they'll charge $500.
Well, that's it. But if nobody can afford to go to the games anymore, and nobody can afford PSL and season tickets,
it is
because you're going back to PSLs.
It's all corporate money. You got people buying seats for their clients, and they're just rapidly. I mean, I'm not going to pay $500 for a ticket.
No.
I'm not going to pay $150 for a ticket. To go up there and pay $75
to see what they put, and to see what they put in this field.
Yeah, and now, by then, you would think that they would have either Sanders or a first-round draft pick quarterback that will take this team to a higher level. But Deshaun Watson just doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense.
The only thing that makes sense is that they're already spending the money on him, but they're doing it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, let him break his leg or something and get him off the field.
No.
And let the insurance pay for it.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't want to inflict pain on anybody, but let him fail because of incompetency, not because of his injury.
Okay, if you say so.
Yeah, I mean, that's
if you say so.
If that's the right way to do it. So, and kind of a transition of sort is that one of the best Brown running backs of all time, Nick Chubb, has announced his retirement.
Okay.
From the NFL. He wrote a classy, almost three-page letter, basically say, I'm a Brown, always will be a Brown, and I just...
reason he wasn't here, because they refused to even offer him anything.
Yeah.
And that, it's like Omar, when they basically didn't even offer Omar anything.
Yeah.
And then he was off to San Francisco.
So his injuries have just mounted and mounted, and he saw the writing on the wall. And but he says, I'm a Brown, always will be a Brown. And I think he's either second or third in all-time running yardage. I can look it up, but it doesn't matter.
I'm like
nobody's
going to
be Jimmy Brown.
And like other quarterbacks, unlike other quarterbacks, he's popular with all people. He did. Well, as far as popularity, he let his job do his talking for him. He was never loud. He was never showy.
Well, he's the opposite of Deshaun Watson. I mean, this guy is a class act.
I mean,
you had to be impressed with him running 20 yards into the end zone, dodging tackles, filling, you know, hitting the holes of the offensive line, and when he got to the end zone, as a professional, he handed the ball.
He didn't go down
like Curly did in the mold.
Yeah,
and go around and gyrate. He was a pro's pro.
Yeah,
and he gave it 100%, and that's why he was loved here.
Yes,
he's just the opposite.
Yes,
put Nick Chubb in as quarterback. They love it. He's not tall enough.
No.
And he worked so hard from those knee injuries.
Yes.
To come back. And I saw a video, I think you did, of him lifting weights.
Yes.
It was like 600 pounds.
Yes.
The bar was bending.
The bar was bending.
Lifting it up. I mean, he made enough money over his career if he's
It's not the most smart thing, he appears to be, he'll be fine. And the retirement he'll get out of it because he certainly has more than enough time.
Yeah. It's just too bad. And running back's career.
It's typically 4 to 5 years, yeah. Period. Tops, usually.
Well, the average tenure of an NFL player is only like 3.1 seasons.
And you don't realize it, but think of how many players come and go each year. The fact is because they go to so many different teams sometimes because of free agency or Plan B free agency or whatever the heck they want to call it. Yeah, sometimes you don't know whether those players are still playing or not. It's like when somebody dies sometimes and you say, I didn't know they were still alive. So they retired and said, I didn't know they were still playing.
Like Tommy John.
Tommy John.
We knew he wasn't playing anymore.
Right.
Of course, Terry Pluto went down a list of former Indians/Guardians players that are still around. Your man Trevor Bauer is still pitching. I think he got cut even by the Mexican League. He's playing in Massachusetts in the Independent League,
which I don't know if that pays anything. He just wants so bad to be back in MLB. But
he's 35, and chances of him coming, coming back to anybody
at this point is pretty
especially
much
not the Guardians pitching staff, which is doing quite well. But it was interesting to see some of these former players, and like Big Christmas, John Kenzie knew well.
Yeah.
He's out of baseball. He couldn't bat over 100, 115 in AAA. And this guy, when he hit the ball, it was something happened. The pitching catches up with the hitting. They do the scouting. It's interesting to see what happens to former players. But I still follow Nick Chubb. I'd like to. He was with the Texans.
Did
an adequate job.
Houston's.
Yeah, but there's younger players behind him now, and he just can't cut into the holes like he used to.
Yeah.
He realized it. He's not one of these guys that we're just going to hang on. That's why that Barkley guy, he's amazing.
Yeah.
From Philadelphia, still playing at a high level, and he's about 34, 35 years old. So those are exceptions to the rule, though.
There are, and
like I said, it's a very short time that most professionals, they get hurt 1 year, and they can't. That's it.
Yeah.
It's a tough game, a tough business, where one injury can ruin your career, even though you're very, very good. Anyhow, another thing. Too that relating to football is that the let me have it here. The Big Ten, another major division, college like SEC conference,
right.
Are going to forbid any NFL player from going back to college.
Yeah, because one of the Browns did that. He left to go back to college. Now, I don't know how you can do that if you were in camp and you were getting your per diem. How you can go back to college? Unless he refunds the money?
It's predicated based on them signing a contract with the NFL. If you sign a contract with the NFL, the Big Ten and all these conferences will not let you play. But I guess if there were players who were making less money in the pros wanting to go back to college because they could make NIL money and whatever formula they use. So isn't that something? Within a relatively short period of time, let's say 10 years ago, NFL players going back to college, that would have been unheard of.
Yeah, Arch Manning made more last year than he would have becoming a rookie in the NFL.
There's a time that you actually have to leave college.
Right, and not now they actually made the time very specific.
Yes. So
injuries, no red shirting, 5 years of eligibility, that is it, that's all.
Yeah.
And maybe that came from that lawsuit that they got, but that was their own fault. That was their own fault because they granted everybody an extra year because of the COVID, and then they tried to take it away from the guy. So that was their own fault.
But Is it a legal case where you're going to prevent a person from making a living in college since they can't do it in the pros?
Well, that's the same with the question in the WNBA. You've got guys that are,
the WNBA?
The WNBA.
The guys?
Guys. Two have already declared eligible for the WNBA draft next year.
Men want to get into the
Yes. Team. And part of the reason is a minimum salary, especially if you're only in the G League, is less than $500,000. The minimum salary is about $1.1 million in the WNBA if you make the team. And so there are two guys, and the one guy says there are four others that are willing to, and all they have to do is declare. I listened to the one guy make his declaration. He says, when I play basketball, I feel like I am a woman.
What?
That's what he said. Now that's all he has to say to be considered trans, and if the trans community accepts that.
Are these transsexual people?
No.
Oh.
They can make money in the WNBA that they can't make in the NBA. There is a guy in the French league, and he is plays for Spain. He plays for Spain in the women's league, and he holds half of their records. He holds all their team records and half the other records in the women's basketball. And he's a trans guy, and
I'm an open-minded person. I really am. But when it's the Women's National Basketball Association, it should be for women. Period.
Well, they're built. Men and women are built differently in different muscle structures and everything else. But you get guys in there to the women. It's something if you let a woman in. There's one gal, and I meant to bring that up here. There's one gal that actually made an NBA team for a short time, and she was, I think it was with Indianapolis, and she did end up getting cut, but she was invited in.
Yeah.
She was a top basketball player for women, and actually invited her to come, and she did. She made the first two cuts and finally lost on the third, I think. But that's different because she was competing on their level, to compete on their level. And she was so much shorter and everything else. So she was, from the onset, having a demand, but she made the first two cuts. And so there were a lot of guys that didn't have the talent she had, but she didn't have the talent to make it to the thing. But on the other hand, the guys that are taller and have a different muscle structure can dominate women's leagues. It's just, to me, that's not right.
No, it's common sense, and
we don't live in a common sense world anymore, though.
It's only common sense, and I don't know legally you can prevent this is kind of interesting because Nancy, my wife, she belongs to a gym, which is women's only.
Okay.
I said, Nancy, what happens to the guy? Oh, they'll get kicked out. Well, don't they have a right to? And we had a little argument. Well, we'll kick
a discussion.
Out.
A discussion.
So,
which you will never win.
No, I did. But so I'm going to show up one day and try to participate. I'll kick you out. No, it's just, it's common sense. And of course, there have been women trying to make the PGA.
Yes.
Michelle Wee is the one.
Boy, and she.
She fizzled even with the
LPGA.
I don't know what happened to her. She
had a couple of invites to come try out.
Yeah, but she made her money in endorsements. Because she got her name out there.
And yeah.
As good as Caitlin Clark is, I don't think she could possibly make a NBA team. Let's face it. It's just it's a different game and a physical structure. It's just some younger girls and women have tried to make high school and college football teams by being a kicker.
Yeah.
Or punting.
And isn't that what Sophie Cunningham did that in high school?
And there was a young lady who several years ago was so good at Little League pitching that they thought maybe she could enter the world of professional baseball, but that didn't. She just stopped growing and couldn't. Now she's in the Women's Baseball League.
Softball?
Baseball. There's now a new.
Oh, is that okay?
Yeah, a new Women's Baseball League, and I hope they're successful. But again, common sense, and if they want to try out, fine, but I hold a, you know, really a man going into the WNBA is a little ridiculous, and I don't know legally if they can stop them, though.
The last time when they got their new agreement is the way that they worded their agreement that kind of opened the door for this kind of thing to happen. It was in the wording.
Well, the transgender thing is a problem that they're, a problem, I guess, that they'll have to work out because they're, I guess, transitioned to a woman, but they still have a man's body.
Yeah.
And
muscle structure.
And muscle structure.
And height and things like that. Yeah.
I don't know if that's, I you know, if a transgender wants to be president of the United States, fine. But you're competing differently in sports.
Right.
Because we're different. We're just simply different.
That's why there are always men's records and women's records.
Yeah.
You know, and to give those women records to a guy who wasn't good enough to get a man's record, the guy who was a mediocre NBA player. And I'm not saying they don't have talent because to make the NBA, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
If you're
the 15th guy on an NBA team, you're an exceptional player.
Absolutely. But not an exceptional player against other NBA players.
That's right.
But you take that player and put him on a women's team, and there's really no competition.
There's no competition. No. Just under the boards, it would be physically almost impossible to stop a 6'7" guy from dominating everything about a game.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
You know, it's kind of funny because we're about the WNBA here. There's so many people that seem to be against Clark, Caitlin Clark, and even now Sophie, since she's come out against these guys trying to join the league, that the women's league is for women. And that Caitlin Clark doesn't have an effect on the WNBA.
What?
Stephen A. Smith was pointing out all the reasons why she makes a difference. But here is another one. Is Caitlin Clark and Sophie Cunningham have the top two selling WNBA jerseys and make up 71% of WNBA jersey sales. 71%. These two women make up 71%.
That tells you something.
It does. And, you know, Caitlin came in first in voting for some kind of maybe it was the All-Star voting or whatever, and they have other teams, players in the league. They're saying, oh, they don't have anything special. They're not that good. Well, yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are that good. And they got to work through this transition from being something under the radar, underneath the NBA. You know, okay, the WNBA is out there. It gives women the right to participate in professional basketball. But she has moved that caliber up so high and elevated the salaries and everything. They got to get used to that.
Watching her play, watching her moves, watching her dribbling, she can do the long shot. She can go in for the drive. To me, watching her play, I don't know many of the NBA players who can handle a ball the way that she does.
Yeah.
There are some, but I don't know many.
The fact is,
she's fascinating to watch.
Yeah, the fact is, the WNBA is a more team-oriented game than the NBA. I mean, LeBron James on a team can make the whole entire difference. You've got to have more of a team play to be successful. And she just makes everybody around her.
Right. Better. And once they got used to her,
Second year.
Her teammates have learned that at any second of any time, be ready for the ball if Caitlin's got it. Because she passes no look behind the back, bounce passes. When nobody else is looking for it, she's got the ball to them. She's one of these people, sees the entire court. Mm-hmm. Like Bernie Kosar could see the entire field. She can see the entire court. And she knows where her players are. Mm-hmm. And the first year she had a lot of turnovers because her teammates weren't expecting it. They weren't expecting this. They weren't expecting that. And yet now they know, be ready for that ball at any second if Caitlin's got it, because if she's can't move the ball, she's going to find somebody that's open.
Yep. Exceptional player. Let's hope they get
the their revenue is the whole contract is up because of her. You know, the players.
Yeah, reached a new
the television viewership is like 40% higher on games that they do for her, and there's a every Friday night on the ION network, they now carry WNBA games. Yeah. And every game, they want all of her games because every game that she's on, 40%. They have to move games, away games, to the NBA stadiums when she's coming there.
Yeah.
Because they sell too many tickets to play where they usually play.
That's why Philadelphia got the maximum amount of national TV games that any team can receive. Because LeBron James is going to be on the
team. Right, yeah. Yes.
So she's, I don't think she's maybe the female equivalent of LeBron James, but she's darn close to being that status.
Yeah.
But, anyway, I don't know how much time we got left.
Not much.
Okay. I did want to bring the fact up that the University of Akron is allowing the fans to, if they're selected, and you have to get, I think, a season, to call the first series of plays in their football game. At first, I thought that was a crazy idea. But as a result, they're getting national attention. They have sold more season ticket. They sold out of their season ticket passes. And to allow a fan to select the plays, I guess, in consultation with the head coach.
That, to call the plays, not to call it on the radio, but call the actual plays.
The first series. Rather unique.
And how do you win this?
I think you've got to be a season ticket holder, and as a result, all the season tickets have been sold that they have allocated, and. Then they pick you out. Register to make a play.
Okay.
And there you go. The first series of the game, you get to call the plays.
Hey, quick couple seconds here.
Yes.
Guardians.
Oh,
seven in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, they're playing bad teams, but they're doing what you got to do with bad
absolutely.
Teams.
Absolutely.
You're beating them. They're back to over 500.
Yeah, by one game, and they came back. They actually came back from
yes.
a 5-0 deficit the other night, which is got Jose starting to hit the ball again.
Three triples in that game. Three doubles, I mean. Yeah, three doubles, I mean.
Doubles. He made.
From last week, I saw DeLauder hit two triples.
Yeah, that's right. He had two triples. So I didn't think that they could pull another rabbit out of the hat like they did in the last two seasons, but
these are bad teams. What does this do? It builds confidence.
Absolutely.
And in August, we are the ninth best batting team.
Yeah. You got Stephen Kwan, who is just leading, ever since July 1st, is leading all Major League Baseball with his hitting. Boy, did he turn around.
Yeah.
And you got Jose turning around. You have the addition of Joe Adell and a couple of the other guys that starting to hit the ball. And the pitching has been, except for Gavin Williams, I don't know what happened to him the other night, but they came back.
And you got Hedges batting the best, he has the best average of his career.
Yeah. So anyway, are we ready?
We are ready.
I used to be a lumberjack, but I couldn't hack it. So they gave me the axe.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm skeptical of anyone who tells me they do yoga every day. That's a bit of a stretch.
It is a bit of a stretch.
All right.
And we'll see you next week right here on Sports Sidebar.